Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination, with your host Paula Granquist, is brought to you by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts. And now, Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination.
Good morning and welcome to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination. Thanks so much for listening to the show as we celebrate all things creating and share stories and, of course, always tune our imaginations together. This week, what I've been thinking about is the comfort of patterns and routines. I think it's because summer, we're in this seasonal change, and I always like to believe that summer is this big, free, expansive time. At least that's what it used to be for me. But in a world that feels like every day brings a new something else, it seems like having markers in the day or the week or the season can help bring us back to a center. So, now in this world, it seems every time you turn on your phone, there's a new news flash, an email, a text that calls your attention or adds another thing to your to-do list. You gather with people, and then there's a date to pick for the next gathering, a paper that needs to be filled out, a reservation to be made. Every week, a call or an email or a text to the doctor, the hairstylist, the vet, the shop, an errand to run at the drugstore, grocery store, post office, license bureau, bank, big box. How did anybody do life without planners and websites and phones? I have no idea. But maybe we just didn't get that organized. I'm not sure what has changed. Is it the world that's changed? Is it us that have changed? Our expectations, the possibilities? Maybe it's our perceptions of our capabilities? Maybe there's more people doing less people doing more stuff. Everything's been foisted off onto us. Maybe it's the pressures of technology or the design of modern life. It feels like my to-do list is unwieldy. Maybe like those clown scarves or hankies that are never ending, like Lucille Ball and Ethel working at the candy factory boxing chocolates, or maybe a jester adding just one more ball to juggle. My life is about taking notes about what I need to add to my to-do list without actually getting to the act of digging deep into the to-do list. It seems like every day I write something about organizing my big amorphous list into something approachable, doable, manageable, prioritized, clear, maybe even beautiful. This is a trick. There's no way that life happens in this buttoned-up, orderly way. You do A, then B, then C through Z, and now your day is free to do all the things you love. There's always a something. So what we need in our lives are anchors. It's things from the seasons or the holidays, the birthdays, the annual events, the festivals. I like this cycle of life with the markers. It's something you can look forward to doing and expect that's upcoming. These are the events that I leave room for on my calendar, and I appreciate these more than any to-do on the list. They anchor me. They settle my sense of time, and they balance the world. So when the world gets a little wobbly, turn to the tried and true markers. And most importantly, what message I want to give to you is to support these events so that they continue nourishing our souls, our communities, and our sense of the predictability of a something. And so that's what we're going to talk about. One of those things that has now become an annual event that has added to my calendar. And I'm going to turn on the mics. First, I'll turn on this mic, Paul, for you. We're talking about the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra. And I'm here with CVRO conductor Paul Nemisto. Welcome again to Art Zany Radio.
Hi, good to see you. You brought my heart rate up with that panic attack of all the interferences in a quiet, peaceful life. Anyway, it's fun to be here with the sun shining over the Northfield Public Library on Division Street. It's just a beautiful, quiet morning. So everybody just relax after that, all right?
Well, that's the point, right? Like, all of those things don't actually really matter in the end, right?
Well, as far as some traditions, what the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra, it's a community orchestra here based in Northfield, what we've done in the last several years to try to stretch out our season into the summer a little bit is to do some concerts at the very beginning of the summer, as soon as it's tolerably close to good weather. And it's looking promising for Friday, May 30th. I think we're going to be good. We're going to be outdoors at the Odd Fellows Park Pavilion. It can be a picnic affair. You can bring a dinner dinner basket and bring your own chairs, and it's sort of been called many things, but it's basically the prelude to the summer. It's probably the earliest that we dare try to have an outdoor concert in this climate.
That's right. And this one is the Summer Sounds Concert. And I was going to ask, this is now an annual tradition, but it didn't used to be. So how many of these have you done?
I don't know. I wonder if we have, as you know, we have some other guests here, and I think Heather might remember, but I'd say it's 7 or 8
years, I think, that you've been doing the summer one.
So,
well, I really enjoy them, and so it's something that I do put on my calendar.
Yeah,
we
have some regular attendees. Mm-hmm. They like the idea of starting the summer that way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So let's now. You folks have met you. You've been on Art Zany Radio many times, and you wanted to do some special introductions of
our other additional guests. I thought about some people that ought to be here too, for various reasons, to join me for this morning. One of them is Heather Scott. Heather,
welcome to Art Zany Radio, Heather.
Heather is a Northfield native. She went to Northfield High School. As a matter of fact, I first met her when we started the orchestra back in the late 70s, early 80s, and she was an oboe player that came out of the high school and played with us. Her career, I don't know all the details, but she went on to school and is a speech therapist that just retired from the Alina system here in Northfield. And so, Northfield Hospital. And so I have now known her from her being a teenager to a retiree, and that sort of tells you a little bit about how old I feel. Anyway, Heather's mom.
Were you a teenager when you met her? No,
couldn't have been. and the other thing about Heather, she's part of a musical family. She's got sisters that play, and her mother, just to sort of be a part of the team, decided in her retirement years to start to take cello lessons. And so Heather's mom, Mary Zoe, was a member of the orchestra when she was in her 60s or so, and played until she couldn't play anymore. So she's a part of Heather's part of a family legacy in the performing arts in Northfield, a part of the CVRO history. It's really great.
That's admirable. Something I think everybody could aspire to. It's never too late to start an instrument.
And sitting next to her is Lori, who, as you mentioned, has been on air before with regard to bows, strings, and contentment, I believe.
Lori Stegner, welcome again.
Hi, Paula. Good to be here.
But Laura is here because I wanted to introduce her as the new chair of the CVRO Council after the untimely demise of Clark Onosorke over the winter. And so she has accepted the mantle, and she wanted to make clear that we do not call her a president.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
And Lori is also a Minnesota native, grew up in the Twin Cities, actually knew Clark when they were teenagers.
Yes, fun fact.
I didn't know that.
We were in Greater Twin Cities Youth Symphonies together, and we played in a little group, and then I didn't. You know, we went our separate ways. I moved here in 2020, and a little, maybe 9 months later, I got an email from Clark Onosorg, and I looked at that name, and I thought, that is a very unique name, and I know that name. How do I know that name?
Yeah, that would be hard.
And then I remembered, and I replied to him. I said, did you play with me in Get Season 1977? And so then after that, we became good friends. And Clark and Stephanie came into our lives, and then we all became good friends. So.
Yeah. That's a really great connection.
Yeah.
And really shows how long both of you have been playing then, and how you can make a lifetime of being a part of music and orchestras and symphonies.
One would hope.
That's the goal. Yes, exactly. And so, as you mentioned, Summer Sounds is next Friday the 30th at 7 p.m. at Oddfellows Pavilion on Forest Avenue. Really beautiful spot there, and it hopefully will cooperate and be just the perfect evening for that. If there should be inclement weather, the concert will still go on at St. John's.
Right.
So folks should know that it's one time only, one night only, and it'll happen whether it's, hopefully, fingers crossed, outside.
Right, and there will be a, if there's bad weather, there will be a sign at Oddfellows.
So you can, and that's just down the road, so you don't have to travel too far if you mess up. So thank you for those introductions. It's really a delight to have everybody here today. I just wonder if we could just start, let me know a little bit about what you love about being involved with an orchestra. What is it about the orchestra in particular? I'll start with you, Heather, since you forgot to mention, too, that she is the librarian, too, of the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra. I'd love for you to talk about what that means as well.
Well, as far as being part of this orchestra, I love the music. Paul's a great programmer, and we do some wonderful music, and just playing the music itself is fun, but it's a real community. I've become good friends with many of the people in the orchestra, and it's it's just a bright spot in my life. So
you've seen the evolution, as he mentioned, that you played for a long time, and you sometimes play still.
Yes, I still play. I'm an oboist, and I played in high school, and then I was away until I moved back to Northfield in 2001, and then started playing with the orchestra again. So I've always played my oboe. It just, depends on who it's with and mm-hmm. and where, but yeah.
And you always, that's what I think about with players, you have a choice to do, whether you want to do ensembles or if you want to do band, but you picked orchestra. And is there a reason that you picked orchestra?
Well, I also play in a woodwind quintet.
Okay, so you do both.
Yep, and I don't know, I've always played in orchestras since high school, and...
I can speak for her. It's got some wonderful oboe solos. Most of the repertoire has got some in it.
So the music is a draw because of the choices that you have. And you get to highlight your oboe.
Yeah.
And how about librarian? Now, people might not realize, what does an orchestra librarian do? I'd love to learn more about that.
Well, we're the ones that organize the music.
Mm-hmm.
So the orchestra has its music down over at the UCC Church. And so Paul gives me the list of music that we are going to play, and I go and collect it and put it into all the different folders.
Because you have to have it for every part. Here's the trumpets, here's the trombones, here's the violins, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
And make sure there's enough for everybody who's playing.
Which also involves going to getting things copied.
Mm-hmm.
Do a lot of that. But, and then I try to get the music done, about at least a month before the concert, so people have time to get the folders and practice. And
okay, I have to ask, because I always find classical music a little confusing when you have Beethoven's Opus number 47, Part 5, and it has all of these different ways of calling a piece. So, you don't have the Dewey Decimal System. Is there a comparable one for organizing? Do you do it by composer's last name?
Yes.
And then how do you do in order of opuses or symphonies? Or
basically, it's just all alphabetical from the composer. And if we have more than one piece of that composer, then I'll use the title of it. And so it's not very complicated.
It always seems complicated to me trying to remember, because it's not like it has a song title like you would hear a song on the radio and you instantly know that song, because there's all those parts to the title of the different versions, and I don't know, they always kind of seem complicated.
The library's got a finite number of pieces, a couple hundred, so it's not as complicated as it would be, say, for instance, with a normal library where they might have music. As you might guess, the Library of Congress system has M as music. So it's M something or other. And if it's M only, and then it's dot, and then you go on with numbers, that means that it actually is sheet music.
Okay.
And then there's some other categories, such as ML, which means it's books about music literature. It's a books about music. And MT is music theory.
So that's logical.
And, and also within music theory is also all of the pedagogical material for learning how to play instruments and stuff like that. And there's more, but that gives you the... We just do what Heather just said. We just have it by the composer's name, and it's plenty.
Yeah, that's, well, and do you ever have to track down things if Paul requests a piece that isn't in our library for...
No, he pretty much does all the footwork for that.
Okay.
We have many sources now. There's a good rental and purchase company is called Lux Music, and it's in Royal Oak, Michigan, outside of Detroit. And you can either buy or rent a lot of things there. The other source is something called IMSLP. It's a national, actually maybe international, font of music that's no longer under copyright. It's for free, and it's just a volunteer thing. It's a little bit like Wiki. You can just go there and submit, and also take things down, so you can get a lot of the classical standard literature for nothing. That's wonderful.
That's a good source. Those are some good insights.
But we've suffered because about 15 years ago there was a big change in the industry where they began to do more copywriting from the families of the deceased composers.
Oh.
So a lot of things that we could get quite easily and quite reasonably were no longer available except by an exorbitant rental fee. My most horrific example of that is Ferdig Raffay's Grand Canyon Suite, which we did with the orchestra, 10 years ago or so.
I kind of remember that, yes.
And it's a wonderful piece. It's kind of Wagner come Americana or something
right.
like that.
Yeah, right, a little Western influence.
Yeah, and it was, I don't think it was quite reasonable through Lux. And now you can only get it through a rental agency that represents the family, and it's like out of the league of an amateur orchestra. We could not pay those fees. It's just too much.
Yeah, it's interesting because that brings up the question. You know, then that means that piece is going to be played less. It's going to maybe people won't remember it as often, and maybe it won't become as popular. So. I don't know if they're winning with that strategy.
Those are conversations that we've had.
Yeah, exactly. And Lori, I want to talk to you about the council now that you are president.
Sure.
And what does that mean? No, I said it wrong. you told me not
it's
to
okay.
say it. I slipped
it's
into
okay.
that
it's
chair
okay.
of the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra Council. What does that role entail, and what does that mean for your participation? What changes for you?
Well... of course, I'm kind of stepping into the shoes of my good friend Clark. And Clark, as you know, he was kind of a larger-than-life person.
Yeah.
And I'm a different person. So as we are learning, Clark even did a lot of things that we necessarily... They just happened because Clark was making them happen. You know, the podium was there. So...
And he didn't leave. There's not like a checklist of what to do for everything,
right? Because Clark, is in his head. And one of the things I loved about Clark too is he was so. Whenever there was a new person in the orchestra, he was so welcoming about taking people under his wing.
I can imagine you'll be really good at that.
Well, but I'm not his big personality, so I would call myself more of an organizer. Yes, of course. We have. 3 new violins who came up from Owatonna. So, yes, I was very welcoming to them. But Clark kind of knew the whole group very, very well. So, anyway, my bottom line is I'm not Clark, but I'll do the best I can. And I'm good with details and organizing, and it's a great council to work with. I was already on the council, obviously. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And how many are on the council then?
We have 9. Yeah, 9 plus Heather's comes as the librarian, and then Pauline, of course, is
at the Northfield Arts Council
represents the NAG. Yeah.
So that's, I think, something people don't always understand is that it takes a lot to put together a concert, and it's takes support in the background that, you know, what. So I'm thinking about the things that might be on the to-do list for the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra. If you're going to put together a concert, how many months in advance are you working on it? You know, how do you make sure that all the things on the checklist get done and divide up the responsibilities? Any one of you can grab that question if you want to jump in.
As far as the calendar is concerned, it's pretty much planned at least a year in advance. So we should be knowing now what we're doing in spring and early fall of 2026. I don't think we do, but we will.
It's coming around the corner.
It's going to happen, yeah. So, and then we know now... So we're starting to look at what's going to happen in November. There's going to be a November concert, and we already know what that is going to be. It's going to be one dedicated to the memory of Clark.
We'll all look forward to that.
And we're
going to
have
that.
another one of his friends from high school, Paul
Huppert.
Paul Huppert, who is a professional violinist down in, I think, Missouri. And he's going to drive up, and he's going to do a solo with the orchestra, and... And then a couple of other things are going to happen there. And then the spring, we're looking at some things, and I don't really want to let any secrets out right now because we're still looking at a number of
options. Of
course. But we're thinking about possibly doing something, a concert with a theme of peace. And peace and tranquility, which is something that one small thing that we can offer in these trying times.
Yes, yeah. That is much appreciated, and yeah. I think you guys will do a fabulous job. And so then you decide on the theme, and then Heather has to work on the music, and then you have to get the players. So that's one of the other jobs that you do, Heather. Tell us a little.
I do recruiting for the woodwinds. Mm-hmm. We have somebody, Bob Williams, does recruiting for the high strings. Jane Reinhart does the low strings, that's cello and bass, and then Laura Maxwell does the brass. And that can be challenging sometimes because we don't play year-round, and people have to, they have other things in their life too, so they may not be available. So it's not always known in advance who our players are going to be.
But. And so you have to match what the music needs, mm-hmm. and making sure that there are players who are up to doing that. Because unlike other orchestras, people, you know, come and they can choose a concert to participate. Is that right? Yes?
Yeah, it depends on availability. Of course, I have my A-list of players, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to be who's going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a multifaceted thing, and you're right. A lot of orchestras have a more regular membership, but they also throw money around a little bit, and we are totally volunteer. But we also have, we probably seat 40 to 45 musicians for a concert. That'd be quite normal. Part of that is because of how much room there is on the stages that we play on, but yet we probably have a resource list, a roster of potential players that's about 100.
Mm.
So there's quite a number, and I should say also that the recruiting of the musicians, as Heather intimated, is done by a group, a committee. Each one with a task, and then they go out and recruit and go from there.
See, I find that really fascinating that there's, you know, that level of detail behind every single performance.
Absolutely.
And a whole group, and like you said, and what's more amazing is that they're all volunteers because they're passionate about making sure we have, you know, this music that they can participate in. And so it's also interesting, too, that people who maybe aren't players can support the orchestra through some of, you know, the different behind-the-scenes things or with dollars or there's lots of different ways to be make sure that this continues on.
Yeah, attendance to a concert, come to listen, is one of the prime things, just to give us somebody to play for.
Yes.
Is very important. And if you happen to take out your wallet, that's just great. Also, the council has membership who are non, I wouldn't say non-musicians, but not orchestral musicians. We want to have some voices from the community just to hear another opinion about some of these things, because we sort of get caught up in our own stuff and don't see a bigger picture. We want to try to avoid that if we can.
Yeah, and I think that's some part of the story I like to tell, is just to hear that. Folks, if you're just tuning in, this is Art Zaney, Radio for the Imagination. I'm Paula Granquist. We're here talking about the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra. Their concert, Summer Sounds, is happening next Friday, the 30th of May, at 7 o'clock p.m. That's at Oddfellows Pavilion. That's on Forest Avenue in Northfield. You'll see it as you drive by, and if you come to the concert, you'll know where it is because of all the people walking with their chairs towards the, or blankets, or as you said, snacks, or whatever you'd like to have at the concert. There is no ticket you need to get in advance, but there are suggested donations.
There's an opportunity to do that with an envelope that's included in the program.
Right, so you can, feel free to contribute after the concert. There'll be somebody who will come around with a hat or a basket or a bucket or something too.
I'm thinking it'll probably be Pauline.
Okay. And that's always nice to be able to, I always think, you know, if you were to, the quality of music and the fact that you don't have to drive up to the cities or down to Rochester or something, you know, you spend what you might if you were going to go out on the night on the town to see a big concert, because it's just, it's such a treat to hear the music. And the Cannon Valley Orchestra does such a great job every single time, just really a beautiful concert. And so folks, and this one is nice because it's really friendly for families and kids of all ages, because you can get the Wiggles out and kind of move around. There's a park, folks, kids can wander off, parents can still keep an eye on them, so that's a good place to maybe introduce a kid to the sounds of the orchestra. And so let's talk about the design of this concert. Were you around on the council, probably, Lori, for putting it together? When
yes.
You think of
yes.
Summer Sounds, how do you encompass that in music, or what were you thinking of, or was is that a decision the council makes with Paul?
Well, no, actually Paul does the programming.
He does. Okay.
Yeah.
I do ask for feedback.
Yeah.
You get input.
But he always does such a great job of programming.
Well, this one has got has a little bit more classical music in it than normal, but it's also has a show tune, and it has a good patriotic march, and it has a waltz. And it has a lullaby, so it's got a lot of things going for it.
Well, so I wonder if we should maybe just take a minute to give people a little sample.
Sure.
I might want to start with the Sousa.
Sure.
Which, to me, I don't know why, but this, it feels like summer to me. When I hear this song, it's like summer's coming.
It's one of the great marches in history.
Yes, and I also know it is so much fun to play. I think every part gets some little flourish or some little piece of it that, and I'm not going to say the name because I think people will recognize it. Do you think?
I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful.
So we'll just play a little bit of this. And this happens to be the Vienna Philharmonic who is playing this. And it is from their Summer Night Concert in 2019 in Vienna, Austria. And it's conducted by Gustavo Dudamel with pianist Yuha Wang as the soloist. So let's listen to a little bit of this Sousa, see if you can catch it. I think you'll know it. It's summer, folks.
We'll be right back.
there and you can go and come to the concert to hear the best of that and the rest. It's such a beautiful tune. That, of course, was Stars and Stripes Forever. I think it's one of the greatest. I don't know why, but it makes me think of July and think of just picnics. And it's quite the summer piece. So it's a good piece to pick.
Oh, you mean Stars and Stripes, yeah. It's of course, you know, it's a band piece, so it doesn't get played by orchestras nearly as often.
I guess I hadn't thought of that, yeah.
Well, I mean, Sousa was the conductor of the Marine Band, and then,
yes,
of course, in retirement, he had his own band, which was world famous. Their tour to Europe is one of the historic moments of public music. It was really splendid.
Yeah, so yeah. I guess it's been then, what's the word I use if it's been translated, is the word that's coming
transcribed.
To transcribed for, yeah, then instruments that are not the
for
traditional
the symphony
band.
It was from concert band to symphony orchestra, yes.
So that's somebody's job. And you do a lot of that, Lori, with trying to make the music for...
I do, yes.
And
yes.
So that sounds like a really difficult job to take something for band and then put the instruments for strings and...
Yeah, mine is usually pop songs, but, you know, the same concept.
Exactly, going from the electric guitar
something to... something else, yeah.
What's the key to making that work?
ASCAP is not listening to this program.
Well, I don't sell my arena. I don't make any profit.
That's association of a society of authors, composers, and ASCAP. Yeah.
An important organization supporting music.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And so I think that's a pleasure. It'll be fun to play for everyone in that this concert. But that's not it. There's more. Some of the other pieces. This one surprised me. It's called Blue Tango. But when I listened to it, I didn't quite get the same what I was thinking tango.
Well, I hope I got the right tune for you.
Okay.
Leroy Anderson was a composer for the Boston Pops.
Mm.
That's how he was the staff composer. He did a lot of little novelty numbers for like the Typewriter.
Yes, classic.
And Trumpeter's Lullaby, and too many of those pieces that are of that particular genre. And this is one of his most famous. And I keep thinking, I hear this and I keep thinking of Lawrence Welk.
My husband and I were just talking about that the other day. We felt like, I think we'd had 60 Minutes came on the TV, and we're like, wow, our grandparents used to watch this all the time. And then
you can still see those shows.
Lawrence Welk as
they're
well.
They're on public, on PBS.
Yeah, they're quite amusing. So this is from Sleigh Ride, and it's called Blue Tango. Is there anyone want to introduce the piece?
It's the Sleigh Ride might be the name of the album, but
it's from the album.
There'll be no Christmas stuff on this. I hope.
No. This is Blue Tango. It says right there. But the piece, is there anything you want our listeners to know before they catch a couple bars of it?
It'll be something that's recognized by a certain age group.
Okay.
and younger ones, probably not.
There you go. We'll take a listen. And this is just another sample of some of the music you'll hear from the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra. tango that is Leroy Anderson. I didn't quite recognize it, although I can sort of get the sense of it does kind of take me back to that Lawrence Welk sort of day. But it doesn't necessarily always take me back to tango. But Laura, you were saying that there are elements of that within the structure. It is a tango.
It is a tango. Yeah.
And the tango is the beat.
The meter and the rhythm was. I was listening specifically kind of to the percussion, but what...
Yeah, right. Four beats to the bar, and the fourth beat gets emphasized.
Okay. That's in there. So that was a lovely tune. It does sound like a nice thing to just slip away in the midst of being outside in the summer listening to that tune. So that's going to be fun to hear with our Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra concert. And then the last one we have that's from the show, we're probably not going to be able to play the whole thing because it's a real long clip here. But tell us, this is the Beethoven piece, Ludwig van Beethoven. And this is from the, Gewandhaus?
Gewandhaus Orchestra.
Gewandhaus, the German.
That's from Leipzig. It's an old orchestra.
Okay.
Kurt Mazur is, I think he's no longer alive, the conductor.
I read that he had passed.
Yeah. Egmont's overture is perhaps one of Beethoven's most famous pieces. I'm not saying it's the most famous, but it certainly is among the orchestra pieces. It's one that gets played an awful lot. I would suggest you start it somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, let me know where.
So you get the finale. You get the last minute and a half or so.
What? So should we go? It's almost a 9-minute piece.
Yeah,
so.
go to about right around 6 minutes.
Let's see what happens then.
See what happens.
Okay, we'll go back. There's 6 o'clock.
There you go, 6 o'clock.
It's not 6 o'clock, six minutes.
This is a very famous old German orchestra.
Let's listen and hear a little Beethoven for our ears this morning.
Based a lot of his material, both rhythmically and melodically, on German folk music, German and Austrian folk music. And this is a kind of a waltz of sorts. And you'll see that he tries to pick up on dance rhythms as he makes his music animate. Those are just some thoughts as you listen.
Beethoven Overture to Egmont, and my notes here suggest that this was the score to Egmont by the German poet Johann Wolfgang von Goethe, which he wrote on the occasion of a production in 1810 commissioned by the Vienna Burgtheater. So that's just that's I love the driving sound of that, the pounding, just everybody in the orchestra, and just how it alternates between that quiet little pieces, and then everything comes up loud and catches your attention.
That's Beethoven.
Yep. It is interesting, right? You can his voice, you can hear a piece and think, I think that might be Beethoven, even if you've never heard it before. It has that similarity. And I'm always amused by the idea that this was popular music way back when. This was what was being played. And I hope that orchestra music continues for decades and centuries. What am I saying? Then forever. And that's one thing I'd be curious about the orchestra and how you think of attracting new players, new audience members, younger folks. Is that something that younger folks are interested in? Do they participate? Maybe not just this orchestra, but just orchestra life in general across the country. What are you finding, or what's a word out there that everybody's talking about, trying to make sure that they're, there's an orchestra for generations to come?
Well, I teach, and I have about 25 students of ages 6 through 70 plus. And I have some high schoolers who I'm quite sure they're part of their college is going to, not that they're going to be music majors, but they're going to go somewhere where they can play. And that makes me feel really, really good. I have, high schoolers who love classical music, but they do what, some of them do other types. One of my students sings in a a cappella group at the high school. And I love that they do different things, but there's definitely an interest, but it has to be nurtured. One of our young violists this concert is, he's out of college, I think, but he's a young man from Owatonna. So it's always nice to see young faces.
I do think so, right. Yeah. It's sometimes in the audience, it's not always that case. And so I'm always thinking, how do we, because for me, it feels just such a great experience to hear that music played for you live. And that there's a big difference between listening to a recording, and there's something about, there's a reason that music is still with us hundreds of years later.
Yeah, not every young person is going to necessarily be immediately attracted to the sound of art music, but you got to give them a chance, because it's sometimes a personality match. There's the way their mind works is attracted to what's going on in the sound, and say, what is that? What's the story behind that? And so the process begins, and then they actually physically do something in music, like play an instrument or sing, and they get the satisfaction from having, communicated through that art, and they feel warm because of that. And that's, if you get that started early enough, then there's a chance. Yeah, and as the orchestra has gone on, we have attracted younger players, and we've got several who are in all sections. There's got a couple of horn players who are young. We have one of our horn players is imminently going to give forth with a baby,
and after next weekend.
we dearly hope, but you never know. And so these are the things that prompted along. I admire the efforts of groups like the Minnesota Orchestra, which finds ways to attract audiences through its connection with other media and other communications like movie scores and so forth. Those are all very, very viable and admirable things to do. As we do the same. We do the same. But for our orchestra, we try to have an audience that comes so we have that element of performance. We have the people that make the music and the people that consume the music. But in a real way, the orchestra is also there, maybe even primarily there for the satisfaction of the musicians. How the love of making that music is in itself a goal. It's not adequate somehow to be the whole picture, but it's a big part of it.
I think so. Yeah, and I think the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra has an incredible reputation. And you have the history is founded in 79 by Paul, so it's been playing here in this region for a long time. I think one of the things I read on the website is that you attract, I got to get the number right here, folks from 22 different cities. Is that what I recall?
Yeah, we'd call some of them communities, maybe.
Communities.
Or villages.
But around the southeast Minnesota.
Driving distance.
Yes.
In a reasonable half hour.
Exactly. Yeah. What do you think is how is the reputation of the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra for players, and what do you do to make sure that stellar reputation is maintained? What makes up a reputation of an orchestra?
We don't have a complete answer for that.
I'd say part of it is music selection.
Okay.
The programming. Yeah.
So what players want to come and you know, like take maybe mm-hmm. it's a challenge or mm-hmm. maybe it's just fun.
Mm-hmm. Both.
Both.
Both. Mm-hmm.
And I would imagine too you mentioned, I think it was Heather, the family sense, like this has become, you know, a group you get to know. And tell
definitely.
Me more about what that means or what that feels like to be a part of.
It's just some, you know, we go out after rehearsal and we are get together in various other situations, and it's just very enriching to have the friends that I've made through orchestra
you have that shared love of music to start with, but then it branches out, I suspect, into, you know, how's your family? You start to learn a little bit about what's going on with
going
jobs,
camping, or going to different, you know, outdoor concerts.
The Arts Guild has a big part to play.
We should also mention that, right?
In getting the word out, we're part of their profile. And so if somebody goes Northfield Orchestra on Google or something like that, it's going to come up probably first on the website, of which we have a website, which is something like northfieldartsguild.org/music/CVRO or something like that.
I believe that's it.
But NorthfieldArtsGuild.org will get you there.
Yeah, and that is an integral part of putting together, and I think you wanted to mention the program, Performing Arts Manager. I always get her title wrong, but the fabulous Pauline Jennings.
She's so efficient, and she is just fun to work with, and it's just I've really, really, really enjoyed, and I interact with her a fair amount, and she does a wonderful job.
I just hope we don't wear her out.
She does many things for this community.
She does, and
she's very incredibly talented at putting together and bringing the best out of people.
Right.
And so I sing her praises as well.
And she's a talented singer as well.
Yes. She is. Yes.
I believe she's going to be doing.
She's going to be doing something with us, the BSC group, and then of course she and Barb Piper are going to, and they have their Feeling Groovy show, and that's what we're drawing on.
So that'll be fun. We'll talk about that on Art Zany in a couple of weeks, I think, coming up. So that's really exciting. What else should we know about how to support the Cannon Valley Orchestra and make sure that this, this music will be here for generations in the future? And maybe pop music will someday go back to strings. And I think even in the 80s when I grew up, there were, you know, saxophones and strings and, organs and all kinds of different instruments in the music. But I don't know if I see that as much anymore.
Well, everything, it's a continuously changing
thing. It's a cycle.
And I think that rap has got a finite period. It's gonna dissipate, eventually move on to something else. But you remember that there's also this crossovers. There was all those arrangements of the Beatles tunes for symphony orchestra back in the 80s, 70s.
That's true, too.
There's a lot of sharing that goes on.
Well, and that's what I did a couple weeks ago when we were talking about Captain and Tennille, my fifth grade band playing Love Will Keep Us Together.
Right.
I'm glad there's not a recording of that. Mm-hmm. But I think that music should be a part of everybody's life. It's such an incredible thing. And the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra is such a treasure in our community. I love being able to share your story and let people know about the concert. Again, we're going to remind you that is next Friday, and it's a one night only. So sometimes they do a couple concerts. This one is just that one evening on Friday, beginning at 7 o'clock at Oddfellows Pavilion on Forest Avenue in Northfield. Easy to find. Probably have to park and walk a little bit with your chair, so you might want to plan ahead for that.
No mosquitoes, I promise.
We'll keep our fingers crossed. It's been pretty good, but we've had a lot of rain in the last few days. Fingers crossed. We don't want that, but it should be a lovely evening. It still stays light out long, and it's just a great way to spend a summer, your beginning of summer. And so I thank you all for being here today. I want to thank my guests, Heather Scott and Laurie Stegner, and, of course, Paul Nemisto, the conductor of the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra. It's been a thrill. It's
been great.
Thank you.
Thank you, Paula.
You're welcome. Folks, this is Art Zaney, Radio for the Imagination. I hope you always find time to add a little bit of Art Zaney in your life. And, of course, a good day is any day where you can make time to enjoy and play in your imagination. So make it a good day today.
You've been listening to Art Zaney, Radio for the Imagination, with your host, Paula Granquist. Art Zaney is brought to you each week by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts in Faribault.